Here we uncover the traditions that are working for successful parents. For the parents who are ready to do things differently but aren't sure how, go to WandaHoward.com and download my free blueprint. It will help you create the difference you've been looking for and enable your kids to be emotionally healthy and confident throughout their lives. Now is the time to start doing things differently.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Successful Parents Podcast. I am your host, Wanda Howard, with my co-host,
Emery Howard.
Last episode, we had on Ashley Bartley, who is a school counselor and does many other things with being a book author as well. And we talked a lot about the need for emotional boundaries and setting good boundaries. And so it was a great resource because as someone who does homeschool, I am not too aware of all the different needs that need to go on inside a public school. So it was very helpful to know what her take is and what she's doing to help inside the public school system. Great resource. If that is where your kids are at, is in public school. We've kind of been talking a lot about education. And in the last few episodes, I've brought up a lot the different research that has been done to support the idea that emotional boundaries and being able to have emotional confidence, internal safety, those are the things that are going to predict our kids' success in the long run way more than good grades will ever do. So we were going to talk about setting boundaries and what that means and what that looks like. So Emery, what is your first question when I say setting boundaries?
First thing that comes to mind is putting a line of tape across the floor.
Yep. It kind of, when we say setting boundaries, it kind of sounds like build up walls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like put things here where people are not allowed to cross. Does that sound very friendly?
Technically no, but there are things that you don't want people to cross. You're not like, I will kill you if you do. But you don't want people to cross your boundaries.
So give us some examples. What are some things you don't want people to cross?
Well, I don't want people to cross my clothes.
Yeah, so the way they touch your body, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want people to cross my sleep.
You do not like it when people wake you up, huh?
No.
But when they wake you up, does that give you the right to be super mean?
No.
And I noticed, actually, this was something that just happened this morning. Our little guy woke up Emery, and she snapped at him. But later on, she came back and she told him sorry that she was grumpy and that she shouldn't have got mad at him. And so,
to my defense, he woke me up while throwing cotton snowballs at my head.
Yes. But my point is, though, with that is you know that you didn't like it. You stand up for that part of yourself. But you also were aware of the fact that it doesn't give you the right to just hound into another human.
Right? Yeah.
So you made sure to apologize for that.
Little guy.
Yeah. And so emotional boundaries and setting them. At the beginning, when I heard boundaries, I absolutely hated that phrase, that idea. I thought it sounded very calloused. And
what does calloused mean? Like dry skin?
Kind of, yeah. Calloused means hard. Like if you're working out with a shovel for a long time, you get calluses on your hand because it's rubbed so much right there, your hand mm-hmm. to not be tender and to not get hurt, it becomes calloused, so it becomes hard. So callous just means that you're kind of hard-hearted, that you're mean.
Like
you're...
daddy's fingers.
Yep, daddy's fingers are hard, huh? So the first thing with setting boundaries is just to realize that as each individual human, we have a start and an end. And that was a concept that didn't make any sense to me at the beginning. I was like, what does it mean to have a start and an end? How do we put that into normal terms? And so basically what that comes down to is being able to understand exactly what Emery did this morning of you have your emotional needs and your preferences, and it's okay to make sure those are heard, and it's not okay to say another person because they are not keeping all of your desired standards or your desired treatment, that now they are the bad guy and they're what's taking away your happiness. That happiness really comes when we are able to show up with who we are and what we feel and what we're thinking, and without being apologetic for that, but to also do it in a way that is connection building. Do you have anything coming to mind right now, Ims?
Well, just that to build connection, you need to give what they can do. Because if you had a house and someone was renting the house, they were using the house in ways you didn't like. Like they weren't vacuuming it weekly. So you can't leave the floor messy. You can't. But it's easier for the brain to hear, do this. You can do this.
Oh, I love that insight. And what a good analogy. So, yeah, to let them know, like, you can clean the floor every week, or if that was your requirement for your renters, right? Another thing, too, though, is that I think the can't is still just as valuable.
Yeah.
The can't of, I am not okay with you punching me in the face. Like, you cannot do that. But you can, when you're mad, let me know and I will try to help, right?
Mm-hmm. Or you can tear up a piece of paper.
Yeah. But I really like that insight, that the fact that when we know exactly what our boundaries are, then we can more effectively communicate with other people what we are okay with, what is all right. One of the things that is kind of sad to me is I see just parents who, they don't know what they like anymore. They don't know what their interests are. They don't know what they want to do. And it's because they haven't set those boundaries up. They've allowed their kids to have every area to their life and for their kids to take priority in every part of their life and every part of their emotions and every part of their needs. And so as their kids start getting older, you start seeing this in just little ways too, of like a kid will say, what's your favorite animal? And the parent will be like, I don't know. I have no idea. Or what's your favorite color? And they might be like, well, I think I like this color. Or what's your favorite food? And it's like, oh, as long as there's food on the table, I don't really care what it is. And that's kind of the extreme side of it when you become so entrenched and just doing everything that your kids need that you've lost all these just little parts of yourself. But it's so powerful when you know those things about yourself that when your kid is asking, like, what's your favorite animal? Maybe they're wanting to know because they want to know if they're like you, if you guys like the same animal. And maybe they're asking about your favorite food because they want to make a nice dinner for you for your birthday. But if you don't know those things about yourself, if you don't know that part of you, you can't tell them. And then there's less connection that is capable of happening. So good boundaries allow you to communicate more effectively who you are, what you like, what you don't like, anywhere from your favorite animal and colors to things of what you prefer the morning to look like and what parts of the house are super important to be clean, or what time of the day you feel super energized and would love to do more family activities or love to be on your own. These are things that help our kids know us, and they feel really good when they're able to give us those things. So what were you going to say?
I think that kind of ties in, like, how I don't like to wrestle in my sleep, obviously. I don't think anyone does. But we, like, tried to give Bud. You could gently nudge us while saying, Emery, wake up.
Yeah, so.
But Easton didn't like that, so now he's not allowed to wake me up. But
and that's a good example. Bud was trying to wake them up with jumping on them and the throwing things at them and things. And Emery, after apologizing this morning and saying, hey, I didn't mean to snap at you, but if you want to wake me up, here's how you can do it. And when he said, oh, I don't want to do it that way, that she said, okay, then you can't wake me up. And he will see how well he listens the next day. But it's always that's the beautiful part of it, is that's what we need to learn, not how do we make sure that people absolutely follow what we say. It's how do we make sure that we continually communicate who we are and where our boundaries are and what we're needing, and be human in it instead of be calloused.
I just hope I don't get waking up how Ebony and Easton used to wake me up.
Yeah.
They used to get up on me and punch me and jump on me, and a lot rougher, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's gotten better as you've continued to that process. They've gotten better, and you've gotten lenient, and you're able to still stand up for yourself.
And a little bit more callous.
Yeah. And it's something.
Yeah, like my sides.
One of the things, too, I just wanted to give another example of the importance of identifying what your emotional boundaries are and identifying your own blind spots, I guess we'll call them, is when we're able to do this, we're able to stop seeing other people as the threat to our happiness or success. My dad was really great at trying not to be selfish. He did not want to be selfish in any way, shape, or form. And he let that idea consume every part of his life. He never went and did things that he liked. He totally stopped interacting with old friends and colleagues and family members. And he just kind of became very isolated and focused all of his efforts in doing everything that my mom needed and what she wanted. And he took very good care of her. She was in a wheelchair and had a lot of needs. And he tried to do that to the best of his ability and in a way that was very good for her, to help her see that she was worth it to him. And so in that effort, he stopped doing all the things he liked. And I remember when I was 16, he started sharing the story of when he went on a motorcycle ride. And I was totally shocked. I was like, what? You went on a motorcycle? You like just for fun? You did something just for fun by yourself? And I wanted to know more. And I kept pressing to want to know more about that part of him. And he just kind of shut it down of like, oh, no, that was selfish. I don't do that anymore. I don't like, I take much more joy in taking care of mom than I ever did that motorcycle ride. And while there's beautiful traits in that and things that we can definitely learn of valuing the care and the love that we can show to another human, I felt this deep sadness as his child that I was missing out on knowing that part of him. And it was because he had shut off that part of him. He had denied himself that part. And the other part that it started affecting, the other part of our life, was he was so focused on not being selfish and making sure he was constantly focusing on other people, that when I had a favor, when I wanted to go do something, or when I had an interest or wanted to play with friends, immediately when I'd asked those things, he would always tell me, like, why are you so selfish? He would always be so frustrated with me for thinking of myself. And so it becomes so crucial for us to really start paying attention to, there's these good ideas, but not being selfish can be taken too far if we don't have good emotional boundaries, if we don't know where to set, like, this is what we need inside of this realm, and this is where we will give inside of this realm, because we don't want to lose ourselves. When we can bring ourselves back into the equation, everybody benefits. I would have loved to go on motorcycle rides with my dad. I would have loved to know that part of himself, or know that he went out and did that for himself to just get a breather. And there was things about my mom, the same kind of scenario of I just didn't know what she liked because it to my parents, that wasn't okay to explore that part of their world. And it was because they had let every area of their life become consumed with this desire of making sure that their kids had everything that they needed and not being selfish, not thinking of themselves. And we all miss out when that happens. So to get started, start identifying the different principles that are important to you, and then go over and make another list of like what things are, do you feel is a burden with those principles? Because that will start to help you realize like, oh, I really value this principle of service. But then go over and write down all the things you don't like about service. I don't like that I have to give up my yoga time to go and serve this neighbor. Or I don't like I have to get up at 6 a.m. to be a part of this service project or whatever it is. And just start to become aware of why don't you like those things? And it's just as a fun exercise to start exploring who you are. If you don't like to get up at 6 a.m. because that's just too early, but you're willing to do it because that is, it's fulfilling enough for you, then go ahead and keep doing it. If it's because you're like, my health suffers, I'm not a good mom for the rest of the day or a good dad, I don't like the way I feel. If it's so many things that is getting in your way, then it's okay to say, I will serve in a different way. That this is my boundary to help myself know that it's okay to not like this and it's okay to serve somewhere else. So that's just a way to get started. I know it can be super confusing and hard though to figure it out on your own. So don't feel like you need to. I am always available for everybody here listening. You can text me or not text me, Instagram me, or email me. And I have those resources down in the show notes. I'm more than happy to help out because no human should be so lost in trying to be a good person that they lose themselves. There's so much about you that's valuable and needed for you and your kids to connect and to be able to do everything that you were born to do, to fill the measure of your creation in this world. So anyways, we love you all and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to wandahoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.